What's the plan for the group? We're going to keep going. Whether we're sheltered in place or we start meeting again in person, we're still going to meet. We're going to meet as long as the Lord wants us to.
I have the immense privilege of facilitating a multi-church community Bible group on Wednesday nights. On today's podcast, I'd like to share with you some reflections that I took down following the success of the group. Hey guys, welcome to this week's Grace and Truth. I'm a grateful, gospel-centered disciple of Jesus Christ who struggles yet perseveres, and my name is Dave. I hope and pray that you're doing well. Today's podcast, entitled Intercom Reflections, was broadcasted live on Facebook on April 26th, 2020. Let's take a listen.
Now, I host a multi-church Bible study at my home in Dublin, but right now we're using Zoom in the interim because of the COVID-19 pandemic that we are in. And I jotted down some reflections on what we've been noticing since this group came to be. I mean, I need to give you a little bit of a background on how this group came to be and some reflection I took down, having led this group since mid-February and to the present day. I want to point out that we're still planning on meeting even after the small group season has ended. We're still going to meet because I really believe in the importance of really keeping in touch and encouraging people to keep meeting even in the midst of this pandemic that we are in. So, I want to start by saying this, that God was truly working in this group. He really was. He knew that this was a group that needed to take place. And it started as a dream back in like mid-2016. You know, for a long time, I had always been a proponent of interchurch relations. Now, what do you mean by that, you may be wondering? Well, different Bible-believing churches coming together to have fellowship with one another, pray for one another, and studying the Word together as well. I have a friend who had a multi-church prayer night for a brief period of time. This was before I became a cessationist, but that's beside the point. I have two friends from different churches who recently had this desire to have a multi-church fellowship night. And those friends, Candace Chuhala and Luke Williams, are an incredible friends of mine who really did a fantastic job with that. Now, this desire that I had was a multi-church Bible study. And I had always wanted that to be the case, not only with Bible study, but also fellowship and worship with people from two of my previous church families, CV First Baptist and Valley Bible Church, where my parents go. That never always worked. But fortunately, the dream became a reality with this group. Now, how did it come to be? Well, I had presented this group to the church that I was a part of, ECC, and I never was able to get it into fruition. Eventually, God laid it on my heart to leave my comm group and leave ECC and transfer my membership to Three Crosses and eventually plant that group. Now, how did it come to be? How was I able to plant the group after leaving one church and going somewhere else? Well, I'm going to be candid. I'd actually had thrown that dream out the window when I had changed churches. The thought of starting a Bible study was over my head. I mean, I've had people tell me, Dave, you're not qualified to be a teacher. You can't be a facilitator. You're not healthy to lead a group. Stuff like that. And these were lies from the enemy. These were not stuff. This was not stuff that was true. What most people don't realize is that people who struggle with Asperger's are actually really, really smart. We're not mentally unstable. Well, after I transferred my membership to another church, I remember getting some encouragement from my friend, brother, and a mentor in my own life, Dr. Rod Phillips, and he gave me a lot of encouragement on how God should use me in the midst of this change. He also shared with me how God was able to use him when it came to planting Gateway after he had left CV First. He never thought about starting it. And people reached out to him, and that's when the church came into fruition. Well, fast forward. Now, that was like in like late 2010, early 2011. Fast forward nearly a decade later. After changing churches, my friends and brothers and sisters, Sean and Devin Upson, had reached out to me and said, "Hey, Dave, we're looking for more small group leaders for our church. Do you think you'd be interested in leading a small group for young adults?" And by the time that I had changed churches, that dream, as I mentioned, was already over my head. Like, after what I've been through, after changing churches, no way. That's not going to happen. But verbally, I was like, "Yeah, I'll pray about that." Little did I know, God was going to do something incredible. He did, in fact, bring people into my own life who actually supported me in my convictions. Rod was telling me that that actually was possible, that that would happen, and he was right. In fact, there were a lot of people who were supportive of me and my convictions. And so with their encouragement and their example, that's what led me to make the decision to, okay, I'll do this one more time. I'll present it to the home communities coordinator at the church and see what he thinks. And even if it's not recommended by the church, I'll still start it. Well, by the grace of God, by the time I had my meeting with our home communities coordinator, he had already put the group on the website even before our meeting, and we had a great chat, got to know each other better. He loved the heart behind the group. Now, the heart behind the group is this: to let the Bible speak for itself and dwell in your heart richly. Based on Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Let me go ahead and read the entire passage, verses 12 through 17, for context, for contextual reasons. "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Oddly enough, that passage has some connection to the launch of this group. So after the group was approved, when we got the green light, our official launch date was February 19th of this year. And it started off with just one person. It only started with one person, which was it was a good start, although I personally wished we had more. But again, my ways are not God's ways. We got to keep that in mind now. So I had to ask, "Father, why is this happening, and why am I not getting the results that I want?" Well, since we had two group members at the time, I decided to ask them, hey, what do you guys think? Should we change it up a little bit? Should we make it available to everybody, to all ages? And the group affirmed. See, one of the things that I do is this. I don't decide for everybody. I'm just a facilitator. I'm not their pastor. I'm not their teacher. I'm a facilitator. And I actually enjoy being a facilitator because I tend to listen better as a facilitator than as a participant. That's one of the reasons why most of my talks are on here. And whenever I do share, I usually go last. And I like going last because it gives me an opportunity to hear from everybody. And I give other people an opportunity to respond to what I've shared because I want to make sure that I'm being held accountable for what I say as well. It's not a one-man show. So we made the decision to go from a young adult small group to an all-ages small group. And my family was also invited. They wanted to come to begin with. So I'm like, well, we've decided to go all-ages. Come on, join us. My mom is also a part of this group, including my dad and my brothers. And one of the things that she shared with me was this. Dave, I've been to a lot of Bible studies and I didn't really enjoy them too much. I actually really enjoy this Bible study. And what we've been enjoying this about this group is the fact that we're learning a lot on how the accounts in the book of Genesis connect to what we are enduring in this pandemic that we are in. I mean, for example, a couple weeks back, we looked at Noah's life in Genesis chapter 8, where he was in the boat for over 100 days. And you have to remember, that ark was huge, and there were animals in it, smelly. And when we reflected on that, what we realize is this. We are fortunate to be sheltered in place in our homes rather than in a boat swaying back and forth, getting seasick, spewing our guts out with smelly animals surrounding us. We are very fortunate that we are not in that type of an environment and that we're in our homes. So it gave us a better appreciation of where we are in the shelter in place act. We also made video conferencing an option before the pandemic really escalated and led us to all be sheltered in place. And now it's video conferencing only. You know, at first, I was thinking about keeping the live plus video conferencing after this pandemic is over. I actually have decided that once this pandemic is over, I just want everybody to join and gather together in person. So that really helped a lot. Another thing that really helped our group was the importance of really, really learning to pray for one another, even those who may not like us. We just read something in Colossians earlier about that. Even though I was hurt by certain people in certain groups that I was in, what I do is I pray for those groups, and we pray for those groups every week. We have something called a small group prayer chain, and we have several small groups from different churches that we pray for, and it's such an honor, a privilege, and it's such a blessing to be able to do that. I wouldn't trade that for much at all. And you know, God also taught me throughout this study for the past couple weeks on how to protect the group members from false teaching. We had a group member who was spewing doctrine and teachings from Harold Camping, and Harold Camping was known for his false predictions back in the early 2010s. I had to encourage that group member, hey, I would encourage you to consider other resources and other options rather than Harold Camping. And I recommended John MacArthur, J. Vernon McGee, Alistair Begg, R.C. Sproul, Tony Evans, Chip Ingram, you name it. And I said, I will. And so I had to pray about it. And they also reached out to me and said, hey, maybe you should add some more questions rather than just what does it say, what does it mean, how does it apply. We utilize OIA in our group, observe, interpret, and apply. So here's what I did. What I did was I looked at my previous church's website, VCC's website, and looked at their Comm Group's webpage. Now, they have something called the Q's and Q's. And on the Q's and Q's, you have a prompt to pray. You have a prompt about how can we love or serve one another this week, which they call one anothering. And then they have their questions for what they talked about in the Sunday message. Now, I don't participate in Sunday sermon discussion groups because I don't personally find them to be strong enough for my spiritual nourishment, but I did find that question to be very, very helpful. Additionally, I realized that having a study guide from any of the resources recommended by my network would probably help our group. So I looked at a guide, and they had a Kindle version of it, which really, really helped, from John MacArthur's ministry, Grace to You. He has three study guides for the book of Genesis, one for focusing on verses 1 through 11, and then there's two others for two other books. So what I did was gather those questions, that is 10 of the questions, 4 for the observation, 3 for the 4 for the interpretation, and 2 for the application, and compiled them into the guide called the Deep Cues. Also, the vision for my ministry is go, grow, and serve. And so I had to ask the Lord, Father, how do you want me to structure this guide? So here's what we came up with. Go. Fellowship. Engage with one another in fellowship before we gather to begin. Pray. Ask God to help you understand what he has to teach you through his word. And then we go to grow. This is what we're studying this week. In this upcoming week, we're going to be studying Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 8. And then they have this question called drawing near. Here's an example. And we don't answer them right and verbally. We just think about it. How has modern science or technology affected your life in good ways or in bad ways? And then we have OIA, of course. Observe. Read the passage aloud. What does it say? What stands out to you when you read this passage? And then the deep cues. I'll just read one deep cue as an example. Why did God want people to spread out and populate the earth? And now here's interpret. Read the passage again silently. This is also an opportunity to write down questions. Asking questions helps with the interpretation process. Then, what does it mean? Do you have any questions? And then, deep cues again. Here's one example. In what ways are modern societies repeating the mistakes of the people at Babel? And then you have apply. With what we've learned in our study, how can we apply this to our lives as believers? What difference does it make? And there's only two deep cues rather than four. But that's good because the focus is not on ourselves, it's on the scriptures. Here's an example of a deep cue. In what area is God asking you to be more obedient to him? And then the last part of the guide is serve. And in the comm groups, they will do one anothering and then ask the questions about the Sunday message. We actually are going to ask the one anothering question at the end of our study. And then we split up into guys and gals and pray for each other. I'll tell you, when I presented this study guide to our group, they fell in love with it. And this is the name of the guide. Here we go. It's called the New Q's and Q's. Think of it like the New King James Bible of study guides. I know, pretty weird to say that. But yeah, this has been very helpful for us. We also have the notes cited in the back. That way I can give credit where credit is due. Now, what's the plan for the group? We're going to keep going. We're going to keep going. Even during the summertime, we're going to keep going, especially in this pandemic. Even whether we're sheltered in place or we start meeting again in person, we're still going to meet. We're going to meet as long as the Lord wants us to. Now, I want to take a moment and recognize some people who have been an encouragement to me when it came to starting this group, because this group would have never started without the prayers and the encouragement from people like you, as well as as the only perfect one who influenced these people to encourage me along the way and to protect me from people who would discourage me from doing so, and that's God. First of all, I want to give a shout out to AJ Venegas, who was very gracious in helping me get the group out by getting it on the Three Crosses website, as well as spreading the word about it. It has been incredibly encouraging to me that he would be helping me with that. I don't think I'd be where I am today without the encouragement from people at Three Crosses, people from certain people from VCC, and many other churches as well. Sean and Devin Upson, who were from the small group that I was a part of at Three Crosses, they actually were the ones who commissioned me to plant the group, and their encouragement has just been incredible. So I'm incredibly grateful to them for their encouragement, and thank you for keeping me in prayer, and that we continue to reach out to each other at the same time as well. Rod Phillips and Gateway Bible Church for their influence, their example, and their heart for the gospel. You know, God actually used you guys when it came to your influence, your example, and your heart for the gospel. All of that helped pave the way in planting Intercom Bible Fellowship. And I'm incredibly grateful to all of you for praying for our group, and that we actually continue to pray for your home groups and your small groups as well. You guys have just been an incredible encouragement to me. Most of you may not even know who I am, but I'm grateful regardless. Heath Hardesty and Valley Community Church for keeping me in their prayers as I am now at Three Crosses and being used by God to help people find resources that will help them get rooted into God's Word. And for Heath especially, for praying for me a few days before the launch of Intercom Bible Fellowship. I am incredibly grateful for him as a brother and for praying for me even after my transfer of membership. And for other people who have been encouraging to me as well, Diana Eshaw, Nicole Bucciarelli, Joe and Sylvie Mendez, Pauline Pang, Kelly Kaufman, Sean Betty, Ryan Javier, Tim Barley, Javi and Jackie Guerrero, Logan and Breezy Williams, and I see some people who are watching right now who've also been an encouragement to me, Rick Garcia and Matt Howden. Thank you guys so much for your encouragement as well, and so many others, and I don't have time to name all of them. But I am incredibly grateful to all of you, and ultimately, I am incredibly grateful to God for all of you, for being my friends, for supporting me in this journey, and continuing to pray for me as our group continues to go on this journey. And speaking of prayer, why don't we pray to God right now and thank Him? Father God, Adonai, we thank you that you are still with us. We thank you especially that you have been with this group as well. Thank you for challenging me to let you take full control of the wheel, to let you take full control of this group. It is your group. It is not mine. Thank you for giving us the discernment to make it available to everybody of all ages and to really make it a group where we can just be vulnerable with each other and also to focus on your word. I thank you for the people in our group who have been encouraging me. I know they have been encouraged by me, but I actually believe that they've encouraged me more than they know, and you have really been the only one who orchestrated all this to happen. What would have been something that would have been just a dream that never would have been imagined of taking place has become a reality, and I am very grateful for you, Lord, for making this group a reality. Help us to continue to be used by you to make a difference in other people's lives, and that ultimately your word speak for itself and dwell in our hearts richly. Thank you for tonight, Lord, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. You can contact me at my website, chewmadenew.com, or you can call me at 510-516-CHEW. That's 510-516-2439. Or you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And do you know someone who's hurting and needs hope? Maybe you're listening and need hope. Well, regardless, check out my story from Celebrate Recovery on YouTube. If you were encouraged by it and learned something from it, please share it with others and use the hashtag Gospel-Centered Autism Awareness whenever you do so. You can find my story on YouTube as Celebrate Recovery Testimony Dave Chu, or you can go to chewmadenew.com and click on the link that says, "Click here to watch my testimony." Until next time, peace out and God bless. Cinco's!